When Mozart sits down to paint, he just paints. I don't think the first time Mozart sat down to paint, he thought he was going to be an incredible painter.
Well, music.
What?
Mozart's music.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, music.
11:36. It is Thursday morning here with The Invasion. Matt McLaren, Travis Mejia. Glad to have you. Appreciate you hanging by the channel for a moment with us. We'll kick off your lunch hour here in about 15 minutes. Cooper Flagg is a Dallas Maverick. The excitement. One of the more exciting drafts in my fandom that I've had in a while. We'll dive into that. But we do this each and every Thursday at this very time. A little boy. Music. Our weekly music segment. And today, it was Travis who called for the ball.
Indeed. I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago and decided to do a bit of a deep dive on it. But it was the advent of, and I feel like we were at the heights of this in the early 2000s and the 90s, the greatest hits album. I always felt like there were some certain connotations on those albums. They were a little schlocky. It was kind of a starting point for new listeners to that artist to get in, kind of have it all right there. And of course, over the past 10, 15 years, the streaming platforms have kind of eliminated the real need for a greatest hits album. That doesn't mean that artists haven't been making them, because believe it or not, reissuing music isn't always for the fans, but we'll get to that in a moment. But it got me thinking of where the beginnings and the history of greatest hits albums lie. So the very first, or at least the first credited greatest hits album, was by Johnny Mathis, and it was Johnny's Greatest Hits. It was released in 1958. I don't know much about Johnny Mathis, to be honest. Sounds like a country artist. But one of the big...
You'd know a couple of his songs if you heard them.
Would I? Okay. Yes. I'll believe you. I'll believe you. But the one of the biggest ones in the early times was the Beach Boys' 1974 album, Endless Summer. Of course, we just lost Brian Wilson last week. And that album, while the Beach Boys were huge, by the 70s, they weren't necessarily headlining every show that they were at every single week and every single show. So they released this Endless Summer album, and they go from opening for Crosby, Stills, and Nash to headlining their own tour within a matter of weeks. And some artists kind of took that and ran with it. Of course, we have greatest hits compilations from many, many artists, but when they first started getting big, it was usually released as like a four-track EP. Especially during the 60s, there were the Supremes, Ray Charles, Louis Armstrong all went with that format. By the 90s, though, it had become pretty common practice, where if you were a mid to high level band that at that point was being considered very classic rock, it would be a good idea to put out a greatest hits album in 1996 and then go on tour and kind of tour off of that for quite some time. So that got me thinking, what were some of the highest selling
okay, greatest hits of all time?
Yeah, greatest hits albums
I
of
bet,
all time.
So I'm curious. Let me guess three.
I will guess
the Beatles' number one album.
That is number four.
Potentially George Strait's number one album. Maybe not.
See in the top 10. Let me check for that one.
Fleetwood Mac, Greatest Hits.
Don't see either of those.
What?
Yeah.
Michael Jackson had one that was called Number Ones or something like that.
We got a Michael Jackson in here.
Okay.
What about the Eagles?
The Eagles, I thought they were in this top 10. I don't see them. I know that their greatest, that, you know what? It's because theirs got cut into like several, that this is the next part of it, the monetary version of this.
Oh, yeah, where it's the greatest hits from this year to
71 to 75. So, like, they have five different greatest hits albums. So, those are a little different. It's not just a full compilation for those. I'll give you the top 10. It goes, how about we start at 10? We'll do a little build up here. At number 10, ABBA Greatest Hits, released in April of 1976.
Sweden's Own.
Elton John, the very best of Elton John, released in 1990, October. George Michael, Ladies and Gentlemen, released in November of 1998. Michael Jackson's Number Ones, released in 2003. Madonna's The Immaculate Collection.
Okay, that's a good one.
November of 90. Bob Marley and the Wailers, Legend, released in 1984 in May. And then, of course, the Beatles' Number One album, mm-hmm. which is probably the album I've actually listened to the most of greatest hits albums.
Okay.
November of 2000. Queen, Greatest Hits 2, released in October of 91.
Enough for two greatest hits.
ABBA has two greatest hits albums in the top 10.
Nobody's looking at that.
ABBA Gold, September of 92. And at number one, Queen, Greatest Hits, released in October of 1981. And of that's the interesting part of all of these is it's just a compilation of, assuming if you buy the Greatest Hits album, you probably have two or three albums with a lot of those songs on it already.
Yeah, I do think going back to your original point on this, the Greatest Hits albums I had is there are bands out there where I don't like half the stuff that they put out or what have you. And I thought that that's a good way back when. That's one of the reasons why, remember when you used to be able to, you could start buying individual songs and then you would
singles.
Do that. Now you can do this, but it used to be like if you really liked a couple of songs from a band, you had to buy the entire album to mm-hmm. get the two songs that you like, even though you didn't like, say, tracks 4 through 12 or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And they put out next album, you're like, oh, I like that song. And then Greatest Hits albums were a way to get all the good stuff.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite Greatest Hits album is The Killers. And theirs was called Direct Hits that came out in 2013. And part of the reason why is because they had two brand new songs on that album that are two of my favorite Killer songs of all time with Miss Atomic Bomb, Shot at the Night and Just Another Girl.
So interesting you would say that because I have a section here of fresh tracks, fresh bangers on.
And that's a really good way to say, hey, here's the best stuff we've ever done. And oh, by the way, the only way to get these two new songs is to get this album. Okay.
I would say generally I would equate this to unreleased track albums. There are very, very, very few albums from artists where they're like, hey, we've been recording for 25 years. We have all these tracks we didn't release. You didn't release those for a reason. Most of the time. There's a couple out there. There's a Weezer unreleased track album that I really enjoy because it's eclectic across their whole collection. But a lot of times, most, those albums suck. And these songs generally, I think, suck that are added on. But that doesn't mean there aren't good ones.
Right.
You like these extra killer songs? We have, I've got three here, and let's see if I can remember which ones I gave you. So this is from the Bruce Springsteen Greatest Hits album that The Boss dropped in 1995. It's called Secret Garden.
Oh, yeah. This was on the Philadelphia soundtrack.
Yeah.
For the movie Philadelphia.
Right. And you've probably heard this song at some point.
Didn't this win Best Song at the Oscars?
Not in my notes, but it's...
I'll look it up.
It's one of those deals where, like, I'm not the biggest Bruce fan in general, but if you want to hear a song that kind of encompasses what Bruce Springsteen is, I feel like this is a pretty decent example. If you pay the price, she'll let you deep inside. It's a little bit softer. There's a
secret. Oh, no, this is Jerry Maguire, not Philadelphia.
Different movie.
I knew it was in one of them. I couldn't remember which.
Yeah, different plot line.
Streets of Philadelphia was from
Philadelphia.
That's what I was thinking of. I apologize.
I think you're doing awesome. I think it's fine. Let's go to R.E.M. This is another one that had been kind of messing around R.E.M.'s discography for a long time, but it was released as a new single for their 2003's In Time, The Best of R.E.M., 1988
to 2003. Sounds like R.E.M.,
doesn't it? So it was part of their 1986 sessions for Life's Rich Pageant, but it just didn't make the album. And when they created this, when they created the Greatest Hits album, they decided, let's throw it on there. Now I'll go to what's got to be one of the... It's got to be considered one of the best additional songs on a greatest hits album. It's certainly one of the most popular. And as a kid, I did not know this was part of a greatest hits album because I had an extremely hard time placing the decades of Tom Petty's career. Tom Petty, one of my top five favorite artists. I love Tom Petty. But this is Mary Jane's Last Dance off of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers' Greatest Hits.
Yeah, I didn't know that that's where this song debuted.
Yeah.
Till right now. Everybody knows this song.
Right.
Weird music video.
So he had just recorded Full Moon Fever without the Heartbreakers and was kind of in the middle of recording Wildflowers when they put together the Greatest Hits album. And they kind of had to talk Tom into doing it. There's a really, really good, I want to say it's on Prime, but there's a really good documentary on the making of Wildflowers. And if you're into Tom Petty and you're into Wildflowers, then I would check that out. And they have a good section about this and the Traveling Wilburys.
This Greatest Hits album is literally hits.
It's a badass album.
Yeah, there is some phenomenal songs in this thing.
And I'm a fool for Tom Petty. I did not know this
was just a track thrown in on a Greatest Hits album.
Yeah.
Crazy. And this is one of his greatest
hits. It's a badass song.
That's like, here's 17 of our best songs we've ever done. And oh, by the way, this new song that will also become one of the greatest songs.
Here's a banger for free.
That is interesting.
All right. This isn't necessarily new, but the advent of the Greatest Hits album has slid off quite a bit in the last 10 years, although reinvigorated a bit with the repopularization of vinyl. But the new way to do this is kind of the old way to do it, and it's Taylor's version. It's you go back, you re-record your old stuff, and now you own the masters.
Right.
Now, the difference is not everybody can pull that off. Like, Michael Jackson can definitely do that with a couple of songs.
And true Swifties can listen to them and be like, oh, that's a new one.
Right.
Like, immediately, which is crazy to me.
But she's the only one.
You can't tell, her voice sounds more mature. Really?
She is the only one that could be like, you know what? Run it back on all of them, and I'll have all my masters. Because
she just finished it. She finally just finished doing it.
And that's the point of it, is that they'll have they get all the new sales, the record company. It's so smart. And in a world where we're just trying to stick it to the man, who am I to say that that's not awesome? So Taylor's version.
Yeah.
All right. That's Greatest Hits album.
All right. There you go. Thank you, Travis.